stray cats have led to a dispute in Middletown. As many as 30 or 40 cats have been living in Smith Park, and some neighbors there have been feeding them. The city's decided that finding new homes for the cats is best for them and for the park's birds, but some of the volunteers who've been caring for the cats in the park want them to stay. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about community cats, how they can be cared for, and when they might pose a challenge that should be addressed are Cincinnati Animal Care Shelter Director Megan Colville and Senior Dane Shelter Manager Brittany Wansnyder. Thanks for being here, Megan and Brittany.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Okay, Megan, stray cats have always been part of our communities. I mean, certainly as long as I can remember. Some cities actually register community cats. How do Cincinnati and Hamilton County handle that?
Community cats in Hamilton County and Cincinnati are really not tracked in any way. It's really based on the Ohio Revised Code. The big focus is on dogs. But make no mistake, we have a lot of community cats in the area and a lot of community members that care a lot about them.
Yeah. And Middletown City Council, as I mentioned, decided to relocate cats from that Smith Park. Brittany, how easy or complicated is it to relocate cats that live outdoors?
It's really not as easy as you would think. Cats go where the resources are. So if there's still resources in the area, the cats are just going to create a vacuum effect. If you remove cats, more cats are going to move in.
And when you say resources, I guess that's stuff they can eat, drink, that sort
of
thing?
Stuff they can eat, drink, shelter, stuff like that.
Okay. So, Megan, what do you recommend to people when it comes to community cats? First of all, should people be feeding them?
We really believe at Cincinnati Animal Care that we believe a lot in the TNR approach, the trap, neuter, return programs that are out there a lot around the country. We're really part of the national conversation when it comes to that. A lot of the national groups really believe in that approach because of what Brittany said with how difficult it really is to just completely get rid of the cats. If you do that, more will come back. So we're definitely advocates of taking care of them. Not just feeding them, though. If you feed them, they will linger. They will be there, but also they've got to be vaccinated. They've got to be spayed or neutered.
Yeah. So, Brittany, how tough is it to trap a cat?
Some cats are a little trickier than others, of course. But, you know, as long as you get a little treat in the trap, cover it with a towel, and just play the waiting game, you're bound to catch something.
Yeah. Yeah. It might not be a cat, maybe a raccoon
Some
or something.
Awesome raccoon.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get something in there. Okay. Well, we're talking about community cats and how to care for them and the positive and negative impacts they have on our neighborhoods. If you have questions or comments, email us at talk@wvxu.org. So, Megan, you were talking about trapping these cats so they can be neutered or spayed. We talked about how that's trickier for some cats than others. How many people are out there doing that?
You know, it's hard to say. There's definitely some community members out there that are really committed and are out there on their own time, trapping, taking the cats to spay neuter clinics, and even paying for it themselves. There's a lot of people out there that are doing that, but there's also people that are just good Samaritans that maybe they see one cat and they think, he's in my neighborhood. I'll just grab him and take him in and get him fixed. So I think there's probably a wide range. We're very lucky in Cincinnati to have two spay-neuter clinics in town at UCAN and Ohio Alley Cat Resource. So they have a lot. They're booked all the time. So I imagine there's a lot of people are out there doing this.
Yeah. And is that something, Brittany, that you recommend neighbors do? That, hey, if you see a cat in your community and you, whether you like it or not, if you see it coming back over and over again, do you all tell people you might want to try to trap that critter and get it spayed or neutered?
Yeah, no, we definitely recommend trap and neuter and even, you know, just, you know, feeding them, providing shelter, and then the trap and neuter. It just reduces the amount of kittens you'll see in the neighborhood. You'll build relationships with your neighbors, and really it just becomes a community-centric kind of activity too.
Yeah. And Megan, when those cats go to a spay or neuter clinic, do they typically get their vaccinations while they're there? Is that kind of part of the deal?
Yeah, when you take a cat to get spayed or neutered, there's a form you fill out, and you can elect to do as many vaccines as you'd like, as many procedures or, you know, different things like that that you would like to do. Now, sometimes the veterinarians that are doing the surgeries might see something and make a recommendation. If they see fleas, they might recommend some flea treatment. But aside from that, it's you can do whatever you think is best for the cat.
Sure. And part of it may be what you can afford too, right?
Yeah. It can get expensive. There's a lot of grants that are out there. I know both UCAN and OAR both offer free spay and neuter at different times of the year for different communities. So it's really great to get on their websites and find out, you know, what they're offering at any given time.
Yeah. So Brittany, I am a self-identified crazy cat lady, and I see cats out there with their ears tipped. I mean, that's kind of the universal signal that they've been spayed or neutered if they're walking around outside, right? The little pointy parts kind of removed. Does that hurt the cats when they get their ears tipped?
No, they're sedated. There's different methods to do it. Sometimes it sounds scary, but like soldering it with some heat to kind of make it scab up, it's relatively painless for the cat.
Okay, that's good to know. I've always wondered about that as a cat lady. You know, you see them walking around out there. Megan, how many community cats are too many? When is there a point at which you think, man, this has kind of gotten out of control?
I think it's probably would depend on the different communities and what the tolerance is, and depending on, you know, how many you can safely and humanely care for and live within those resources. As Brittany had mentioned at the beginning, the resources matter, and so if there's not enough resources, like any other animal, they're probably going to move on. But I think it really depends on what that community and what the people there can handle and what they can do for those cats.
Yeah. Well, anybody who knows about cats knows they're really good hunters. So, Brittany, what are the positive and negative impacts of that? If you've got a community of cats that are outside, I imagine there are pros and cons of those hunting skills.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, some of the cons are also the pros. They're really good at rodent control, but obviously, you know, with that comes birds as well. There's a lot of people opposed to community cats due to them killing birds, but that's where TNR comes in. If you just keep up with that, you'll have less cats doing that while still having the benefits of having less rodents in your area.
Yeah. How often, Megan, can community cats be adopted into a family? I mean, there seems to be a real range. Some can be super friendly. Others just seem like little kind of wild animals out there. How successful is that to trap a community cat and actually rehome it with a family?
It seems that there's quite a few that are pretty friendly. I think that's really, I think as an animal welfare industry, we're moving away from feral cats, just kind of labeling them all that and calling them community cats, because there are some that are friendly. Brittany might have a better idea of kind of the cats that come into our shelter at Cincinnati Animal Care, how many of them are friendly versus truly maybe feral or can't go into a home.
Yeah. What do you think, Brittany?
Yeah. So whenever we kind of make that decision on whether or not we're going to return a community cat back to their community or put up for adoption, obviously their social ability and handleability is something we look at. And then after that, it's were they thriving in their community? So did they come in emaciated? Did they come in severely ill or just overall unthrifty? And then we just kind of go from there.
Yeah. Do you ever see any that come in and they're in such bad shape that you worry that their quality of life is terrible? I mean, I guess I wonder, do you ever have to euthanize community cats?
We do. And obviously we take those decisions very seriously. So we do got to check off a lot of boxes. But ultimately, it's whenever it's in the best interest of the cat is when we'll take that route.
Yeah. And we, with Hamilton County Dog Warden working for Cincinnati Animal Care, we see a lot of, we get the calls. If a cat is injured, sick, we often get the calls, or the community members bring the cats to us. So we get a lot that are sick and injured. And like Brittany said, there are times we need to make that humane euthanasia decision.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned community cats have been in the news. We talked about the park in Middletown. There was a story in the Washington Post about a beloved community cat and the controversy when that cat was rehomed. How passionate do people get about community cats in their neighborhoods? I'll ask both of you this, but Brittany, I'll start with you. And how much joy do they bring to neighbors in some cases? I mean, I imagine there are some neighbors who really love these cats, even if they never get to pet them, that they love having these cats around.
No, outdoor cats are people, a lot of people view them just as they would their indoor pets or even their children sometimes. They see them as a family member. And even the ones that aren't so friendly, you can create that bond with them too.
Yeah. What do you think, Megan? Is how important can these cats be to a community?
I think they can be very important. I think it's a, you know, as Brittany said, people just really bond closely with cats generally. But even the ones that you can't touch and that you're really helping thrive and live outdoors, I think people really, really become attached. And I think it can be a part, you know, they kind of become part of the community, you know, a bit of a self-identifier with those cats.
Yeah. We're talking about community cats, how to care for them and what they bring to neighborhoods. If you've got questions or comments, email us at talk@wvxu.org. Have you ever tried trap, neuter, return? We want to hear what your experience has been. I'll tell you, in a previous job when I worked at WCPO9 News, I observed a volunteer go out to do the TNR, and she talked about this stinky food she uses to try to lure him in there. And I was with her when she got a couple of kittens to go into her trap, and that seemed like a big win. But that's, people dedicate a lot of time to that, don't they, Megan? I mean, there are people who just spend hours and hours out there.
Yes. Trapping is, it can take a lot of time. I think that's one of the biggest challenges of TNR is just being able to dedicate that time to it. And sometimes when it's not successful, you might be out there for a couple hours and not catch a cat.
Yep.
But when you do, and you know that you're doing something that's going to, you know, help that cat out and hopefully help that whole colony, it can be really rewarding.
Yeah. We got an email from Darlene who writes, is there a team that will come and trap and neuter the cats? I have a feral male that needs to be trapped. You know, those males outside can, they can create a lot more cats. Brittany, are there volunteers that people can call if they don't feel like they've got the skills to do that themselves? Or who should they call about that?
I actually recommend Facebook for something like that. There's a lot of cat-centric groups in the Cincinnati area. Community cats, there is that sense of community. So if you just put out a plea, people will volunteer to help you or provide you the resources to do so yourself.
All right. Facebook, good for something. Well, we appreciate that. Megan, are there nonprofits that focus on that? I mean, I imagine that could be a full-time job for a nonprofit organization to be sending out teams for TNR.
Yeah, TNR has been a big conversation in the animal welfare world of Cincinnati for a long time. We have a really great funder, the Joni Bernard Foundation, that has done a lot of work with the Give 'Em 10 project. And that is one place that you can reach out to, is the Give 'Em 10. They can put you in touch with the right people to assist with pretty much any of your cat needs. But also at the spay-neuter clinics we mentioned and at our shelter, we have people that are trapping, neutering, returning, taking cats to the clinics, doing all of that. So we've got a lot of people. I think Cincinnati is very, very cat friendly.
Yeah. What kinds of parasites and infections can community cats get when they live outside? We talked about fleas and ticks, I think, but there are other things too, right, Megan?
Yeah, they can be probably one of the more common ones might be an FLV or FIV that mostly come from just sharing saliva, really, of sharing the same food bowls and things like that. It can also be through fighting. If, you know, those unneutered males are out there fighting, that can also be a good reason to get them neutered, is to help them live a safer life. They're less likely to get in fights if they're doing that. But cats can get any type of cat illness, any cat disease out there. It's important, like we said, to if you can afford it and you can, it's something that's important to you, to get them vaccinated at the same time as getting them spayed or neutered.
We got an email from Dave who writes, it has to be stated how damaging cats are to natural wildlife, especially birds. Excuse me, I got a little interruption there on my computer. Worldwide, it is estimated that feral cats are responsible for the extinction of some 30 bird species. They belong indoors. Now, Brittany, you were talking about that before, that people, you know, cats can kill a lot of birds. What is that a concern that you hear from a lot of people at the shelter, either Brittany or Megan, about that, you know, the impact of community cats on bird populations?
It's not something that we hear much about at the shelter. Obviously, on a more national scale, it's definitely an issue, but it's not a large-scale issue for our community at this time.
Yeah. Once a cat has lived outside, you know, Dave just said cats belong indoors. I've got a couple cats myself. They're indoor cats, and I think they get scared when the door even opens because they're so used to that. But can an outdoor cat ever live indoors 100% of the time once they're used to that kind of roaming outdoor life, Brittany?
Some cats can definitely acclimate to indoor home life. Sometimes it might take a little bit of time and, you know, taking baby steps. But not every cat is suitable, especially those who are more fearful and unsocialized to humans.
Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be tricky to figure out which is which and who can make that switch. Megan, we were talking about the parasites and infections that cats can get. They can get all kinds of stuff. How common is it for those to spread to other animals or even people? And I say that because I have a loved one who was trying to care for an outdoor cat and ended up getting ringworm, which is one of those things that can happen. How common is that sort of thing?
Well, I think when we're talking about community cats, a lot of them, a large population, people aren't touching. And so where a lot of them were able to, people are kind of able to keep that distance. But again, with a strong trap and neuter program, we are getting hands on those cats. The veterinarians are seeing them. They're able to pick out things like ringworm and get the proper treatment that might be necessary for those cats. So, I mean, I think the risk is the same as probably with any animal. But hopefully one thing that makes cats a lot different than the wildlife is that we have that ability to get them into a veterinarian, and just real basic treatment can go a long way.
Yeah. Brittany, is your shelter just filled with cats all the time? Do you ever have a time where we're like, oh, we've got half our spots for cats are totally available, or are you just constantly full?
We're very fortunate. We have a pretty successful owner surrender kind of self-do program. And then our strays, we mainly are just seeing the sick and injured because we're able to return those friendlies back to their communities. So we're in a fortunate position to be able to transfer in cats from lower resource shelters and kind of spread the wealth.
Yeah. That's it. Does that feel good, Megan, that you're able to help other shelters out like that?
Oh, it's awesome. As Brittany said, we're very fortunate in Cincinnati. We've got a great community that loves cats. It seems like whenever we adopt a cat, whenever we get a cat, it is quickly adopted. And that has allowed us, our community support has allowed us to step outside of our community and help out those shelters where cats might be at risk of euthanasia just for space. So we have a very different situation with cats than we do with dogs. Our dog population is very full.
Really? Why do you think it is? Because it seems, I mean, a long, long time ago, I used to volunteer at an animal shelter in Northern Kentucky with my daughters, and it seemed like the dogs were moving faster out of the shelter than the cats. So has it been the case like that in Cincinnati for a long time that you're able to?
Well, the biggest reason is this TNR as a national solution to community cats, because what used to happen even just 10 years ago was community cats would be brought to the shelter. They would be labeled feral, which they probably were, and they'd be euthanized because they weren't adoptable. And so since TNR has come into the picture on a large scale, animal welfare organizations have really been able to keep cats out of the shelter, leaving the shelter open just to the ones who really need it. And there are no laws or requirements in the state of Ohio regarding cats. With dogs, it's the opposite. Dogs are, you know, all the strays have to go to the shelter. So there's a lot more, rules and regulations around dogs, huh, for better or for worse.
Right, right. Do you, I don't know if there are numbers on this, but do you have any sense for whether the stray cat populations are higher or on the decline in our area? I mean, I don't even know if there's a way to track that. I mean, cats, they are always in motion, at least. Well, I mean, my two aren't, they're lazy, but the outdoor cats are always in motion. Do you have any sense for that, Brittany?
So the past couple of years, we started to see a decline. And then unfortunately, last year, it started to pick back up again. I think we've definitely been seeing the benefits of TNR in the area. And it is still on the lower end.
Okay. So the TNR is helping to kind of reduce that outdoor cat population?
Yeah. Cincinnati's been kind of trending lower than national statistics for a little while now, which is really positive and encouraging. There's a great cat coalition. A lot of the local shelters and rescues here are working together to try to, solve these, find solutions to our cat problems.
Huh. Okay. What more do you think people could be doing that they're not, Brittany?
I think still just keeping the hype up around TNR. It's has so many benefits. There's lower illness in the communities, less kittens that the community has to worry about and care for, and then just, you know, less cats that require resources.
Yeah. Do you, once a cat has been spayed or neutered, does that make them any less you said it makes them less aggressive towards other cats, that the males aren't fighting as much. Does it make them any less aggressive towards other animals like birds, that, you know, the question that Dave brought up, or are they still able to get as many birds as they could before?
I'd say they're probably still able to get as many birds as before, but if it's a colony that's cared for, they're well fed, they're well cared for, they are well cared for, they are less likely to, they're going to be lazy like your cats are and be probably less likely to, you know, be on the hunt, out there. So I think that's,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, there's, well, and I know we've talked about feeding cats and how, you know, that can be a benefit to the cats. It can help the birds too, I guess, it's easier to get kibble out of a bowl than bird out of a tree. But what about shelter? Do you, Brittany, do you recommend that people make kind of makeshift shelters for cats, either, you know, when it's raining, or gosh, we've had so much snow and ice and in this past winter? Is that a kindness for cats, or is that a problem?
No, I do think that is a kindness for cats. I think it's going to, of course, not in every case, but it's going to reduce the cases of cats climbing under cars' hoods to seek warmth, and just kind of getting into places where they shouldn't. But as with everything, there should be some level of responsibility to it. So trying to make it less or more inconspicuous, and not so much of an eyesore that your neighbors complain as well.
An eyesore, is that, you get a lot of complaints about that, Megan?
Yeah, it can be eyesore or it can be a smell. It can be sometimes two of those things. I think Brittany is spot on with, you know, finding a way to care for the cats, but do it respectfully, because not everybody in the neighborhood is excited for them to be there. But I think there's a lot of ways to do that to be a little more inconspicuous.
Yeah. That smell, that just made me think, you know, a lot of people have problems with cats getting into their gardens. Is there anything you can do to keep a cat? I mean, other than just having like a bulletproof greenhouse, is there anything you can do to keep a cat out of your garden, Brittany?
So there are humane deterrents. Cats don't like the smell of citrus. You can put aluminum foil down in, if you have a garden edger, or even just little bamboo stakes.
Okay, great tips. Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati Animal Care Shelter Director Megan Colville and Senior Dane Shelter Manager Brittany Wansnyder. Thank you both so much for your time today. You've been terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.